All right. Hi, John. Good to see you. Sue, are you there? Can you hear us okay? And Walt, you can hear us?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Very good.
Okay. Thank you.
John Christensen, you're the engineer with the applicants.
The city engineer.
City engineer. Okay, that's okay. Very good. And Sue, I see you're muted. There you go. Are you there, Sue? All right.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah. Turn off the other one. You're getting a feedback through your phone, and you're there. You go.
Okay.
Very good. That was quick action before it blew us out. All right. Well, we're going to start with the public hearing, and I'll call that to order. And that wasn't very impressive. Anyway, this is on the permit for the application for the gas station. And we'll start with a roll call.
Yeah. Thank you. Sorry.
You got it. So thank just you. Say your name. We'll go down the line.
Earl here.
Richardson here.
Morgan here. Sue?
Richardson here.
Thank you. All right. To start this, I'm going to read this page in a third. Yeah. But I think it'll be interesting, and I'll try to make it interesting, right? We're going to learn something here. Until we're like really familiar with this, this is a process we want to do right. So here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, I will call this hearing to order. My name is Ken Moore. I am the chair of the Planning Commission in Yamhill, Oregon. The members of the Planning Commission are appointed by the City Council and serve as volunteers. Our role is to conduct public hearings and to make decisions about land use matters in Yamhill. In making these decisions, we must apply the law of Yamhill and cannot vary or change that law. Susan twice. There you go. Susan three times.
Sorry, technology I'm not good at.
You're doing great. If you think the law should be changed, you can work with the City of Yamhill to do that, but state law provides that applications must be judged based on the law that existed when the application was filed. Members of the Planning Commission are to be unbiased. Before the start of the hearing on each item, I will ask the members of the Planning Commission whether they have any potential conflicts, such as family, financial, or business relationship with any of the applicants or with regard to the land in question. If any such potential conflicts exist, I will ask whether the commissioner in question believes he or she is without actual bias or whether he or she would like to step down from the Planning Commission during the case. Let's just do that right now. Conflicts come to mind, Lyndon?
No.
John?
No.
Shay?
None.
Sue, any conflicts?
None
on my part. I will also ask whether any of the planning commissioners have discussed the application in question with any of the parties or have independent knowledge of relevant facts, such as a visit to the site in question. If any of the planning commissioners have had such contacts, I will ask the planning commissioner to disclose the substance of that contact. John, none in my case, except a conversation with Shay, maybe we should just go ahead and talk about that.
Yeah, so we just talked about the fact that, I think the gist of our conversation was just on the fact that we were going to be having a discussion on that. And I don't remember how far we got into that.
Not just a couple of potential concerns on how it'll look. And
sure,
we're going to feel our way into that.
And you said, has anybody been there? Well, I mean, I walk across it all the time, but heard that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. If a planning commissioner has independent knowledge of relevant facts, I will be asking the planning commission to summarize those facts. I think we pretty much summarized that. We've gone through that a little.
One thing that I would say on relative facts would be that I did pull from the county the surveys on the former Pit Vital properties. So,
and sent that to each of us.
And sent that to everybody involved. Yep, including Walt. I believe, did Walt get a copy of that?
Yeah.
Thank you.
During the testimony, a witness may challenge the impartiality of a planning commissioner and may rebut the substance of a planning commissioner's knowledge of the facts. The commissioner in question may respond to such a challenge. Any challenges, anybody on their mind at the moment? Okay. A copy of the rules of procedure for the hearing, the agenda for today's hearing, and the copies of the staff reports are available. We will consider cases one at a time in the order listed on the agenda. Well, there's just one tonight. I will start with each case by asking staff to summarize its written report, then the applicant and those in favor of the application testify. Then witnesses who oppose the application or have questions or concerns testify. If there is opposition or there are questions, the applicant can respond to them. The planning commissioners may also ask questions of the staff and the witnesses throughout the hearing until the record closes. If a witness introduces new evidence in response to opposition or questions, everyone gets a chance to respond to the new evidence. Then the applicant can make a closing statement without introducing new evidence. Then I will close the public portion of the hearing and the Planning Commission will deliberate about what to do with the application. During deliberations, the Planning Commission may reopen the public portion of the hearing if necessary to receive additional evidence before making a decision. Any person with an interest in today's agenda may offer relevant oral or written testimony or both, but please only speak when I identify you for that purpose. You must testify orally or in writing before the close of the public record to preserve your right to appeal my decision to a governing body or the Land Use Board of Appeals, known as LUBA. You must raise an issue clearly enough so people can understand what it is and offer evidence in support of it, or else you cannot raise that issue before the governing body, which being the Planning Commission or LUBA. It is also important that you make your best case to the Planning Commission, because although all of our decisions are subject to appeal, the Planning Commission will decide the appeal. The City Council will decide the appeal based solely on the evidence in the record before us. Note, local code may be different than the hypothetical. If you feel you need more time to prepare, you can ask the Planning Commission to hold open the record or to continue the hearing. Those are two different things. We could do one or the other. You must make that request before we close the public portion of the hearing. You may remember that didn't happen once and it was uncomfortable. If the Planning Commission holds open the record, you can submit additional written testimony and evidence into the record before the commission makes a decision. If the Planning Commission continues the hearing, it means oral and written testimony, including new evidence, can be offered at a future hearing. Regardless of whether the hearing is continued or the record is held open for any other reason, state law provides that we must hold open the record for at least 7 days after it is closed to all other parties to allow the applicant to submit final written arguments in support of an application, unless the applicant waives the right. We also must comply with state law that requires the city of Yamhill to make a final decision, including all appeals, within 120/150 days after the city. So 120 days for a city, 150 days for a county. Within 120 days after the city staff found the application was complete, unless an applicant waives that right. So generally, we cannot continue a hearing or hold open the record for very long. Please make sure your testimony is related to applicable criteria. I'm just going to say that again. Applicable criteria. And how you feel about it is probably not applicable criteria. It needs to go to the law. Planning staff will identify those criteria at the beginning of the hearing on each item, and that we will get from Wolf. So listen for that criteria and only speak to it, please. Testimony should also not be repetitious. Please do not repeat testimony offered by yourself or earlier witnesses. If we think your testimony is irrelevant or repetitious, I may interrupt and ask you to continue on another subject. Demonstrations from the audience are prohibited. Please refrain from them. Comments from the audience will not be part of the record. If you wish to testify, please fill out a sign-up sheet or card and hand it to the secretary. Anybody wants to do that and you've done that? Great, so we've got that done. Thank you. When you testify, please come forward to the podium. I think we're small enough that there's no podium. Please begin your testimony giving your name and your address. Yes. If you represent someone else, please say so. If you have any exhibits you want to consider, such as a copy of your testimony, photographs, petitions, or other documents or physical evidence, please hand it to the secretary. The planning staff will keep exhibits until appeal opportunities expire, and then you can ask them to return your exhibits. Any questions? Rocky.
I don't have a question about what you have read, but I would like an opportunity to ask a question in sequence here when you get to the place where you identify the request, and the request is a development plan review. And I would like to ask a question about that particular point.
Great. Let me, I saw agenda and how that's going to go. I tucked it right here. It'll go like this, Rocky. So listen for your chance, all right? Chair opens the hearing. Chair describes the procedures. I'm just doing that. Staff report is summarized. Planning commissions ask technical or clarifying questions to staff of the proposal. Testimony from citizens, interest groups, state agencies, and other units of government are entered into the record. And I think that would be a time for questions as well. Okay.
Okay, now just for clarification, I'm not asking for an opportunity for testimony. I have a question relative to the development plan review.
The application that we're considering tonight, that review?
Yeah.
You have a question to ask about that. Yeah, we'll do that. When it's time for testimony from citizens, I think that'll be appropriate time for questions. You can talk to the engineer, you can talk to Walt or any of us at that time. Does that sound good?
Thank you.
Okay. Great. I know we're concerned with all these rules. You want to make sure you get in at the right time and don't close, too late, sorry.
Right.
I hear you. All right, I'm almost done. I've just got this much. That concludes the introduction. We'll begin with the first item on tonight's agenda, which is this development permit application, and the number is DEV 21-01 DR 22-1. Does any planning commissioner wish to declare any potential conflict of interest ex parte? We already did this. Contact or independent knowledge? No, we already said that. Then would the staff please proceed with a summary of the written report? Walt.
Unmute. There we go. Okay. Good evening, everyone. For the record, Walt Wondolowski, contract planner for the city of Yamhill. This property is located at the corner, southwest corner of Maple and First Street. The address is 210 South Maple. It's about a 0.4 acre parcel, currently zoned C3, which is a general commercial zone, also located within the central business district. The appropriate criteria for the Planning Commission to consider are found in, and there was one little Scribner error here, chapter 10.28, which is reviewed in the staff report. So I want to make sure that we do follow through with that, but everything I've reviewed follows through with that section. The applicant is requesting approval of a development plan review. And this will be for the creation of a gas station and a convenience store. There will be a four pump station located underneath a square canopy. There will be four dispensers. The height of the canopy is 19 feet with about a 16 foot clearance. The convenience store will contain about 5,000 square feet located on the west side of the property. The building also includes a drive-in or drive-through on the north side, exiting out onto First Street. For the record, the site formerly contained a gas station. The station was closed and demolished with the gas tanks properly remediated. Per section 10.28, 020A, a automobile service station is an allowed use in the C3 zone. Further, section A11, A14A permits a service station, A11 permits retail uses. So based on these two subsections, the proposal is allowed in the C3 zone. Per section 1028-050A, a development plan shall be submitted to the Planning Commission for an expansion of existing buildings or for new construction. Therefore, this provision applies to this case. The city did request comments from affected agencies, ODOT comments. Basically, they would defer to the city for frontage improvements. And as will be noted later, for street improvements along Maple is effectively requesting improvements complying with ODOT standards. The city engineer also responded. He can probably clarify the details since he is here this evening. I will simply note that for the most part, sanitary sewer, water, and stormwater plans will be required for this project. They must be submitted and approved prior to construction. They're also required to comply with our city standards. With regard to the streets, frontage improvements will be required along West First Street and South Maple Street. Again, these were particularly identified with regard to the specifics. Also, the curb return and the ramp at the intersection of West First and South Maple will need to be replaced and meet current ADA and ODOT standards. Now, this project, as I noted, is located within the Central Business District. Although it is zone C3, all areas south of local motorcycle enthusiast, all land south of Azalea that is zone C3 is also within the Central Business District. I won't go through all the requirements for development in the Central Business District, but note that there is landscaping required. There are certain building standards that must be met with regard to orientation, facade improvements, setbacks, there's special design requirements. It talks about trying to average the building height within the area. And there's also limitations on how drive-up and drive-in windows can be developed. Also note there are specific sign requirements for this area that again apply to the Central Business District. These improvements or these design regulations were effectively in place to enhance the downtown, maintain and enhance the downtown. However, section 10.46070 allows the commission to modify these standards as part of the site design review process, which is why we're here this evening. They can be modified, but there are certain limitations. The modification is necessary to provide design flexibility where there are unique conditions to the site, or parcel shape or configuration precludes compliance, or a modification is necessary to preserve trees, other natural features, or visual amenities. The other component is under item B, modifications, if so done, still must leave a site that is substantially in compliance with the intent and purpose of the central business district. This was a very interesting one for staff to consider. Again, the C3 zone permits gas stations. I think the site, in fact, the site formerly contained a gas station. This is probably a logical place for this type of a use. And the exterior of the building generally conforms to some, you know, there's some brick finish, there's some split stone finish that is, you know, consistent with a sort of downtown. I think, though, the city faces a bit of a conundrum here between the C3 zone and the central business district. Frankly, the design elements work against the establishment of a gas station. For these reasons, staff recommends that if the Planning Commission decides that many of these standards can be waived, strongly suggest that landscaping provisions be enforced, and also signage requirements of the central business district be enforced. Now, under the specific criteria and review for the design review, these are found in section 1028.040A. And this goes through a series of plan requirements. And actually, the first item is just to give some guidance, if you will, to the Planning Commission in terms of how this is organized. Under item B, uses shall not be objectionable in relation to surrounding properties with odor, dust, smoke, cinders, et cetera. Now, staff recognizes gas stations may have some odors and fumes. However, please note these are regulated through DEQ, which they regulate vapor emissions and storage tank installation. And I think potential impacts would likely be minimized with that regulation. Otherwise, we didn't see smoke or fumes or heat as a serious consideration with this request. Under item C, retail or wholesale stores or businesses shall not engage in manufacturing or processing. There's a limitation on that. That doesn't apply to this case. They're not manufacturing as part of their retail sales.
I've gotten disconnected from where you are and your report. Would you orient me on what page you're on?
Okay, I'm on page 7 and I'm under item, I'm just starting item 4, which is the parking.
Okay. I'd just like to back up a second. Signs. Okay, we'll come back to this. I'm glad. Okay, now I'm connected with you. We've got a lot to talk about. Well, go ahead. Thank you.
Okay, sure thing. Again, just to summarize, because I moved a little quickly here, is that I'm recommending that if you find that the applicant is allowed to modify the provisions, they still are subject to the sign regulations within this central business district. Okay. Item number 4, or in this case, item D, is parking. I went through the calculations and determined 15 spaces are required, and that's rounding up. There are no parking requirements, though, for the service area. In other words, we do not have standards for the pumps. This was a real interesting one to work with. The applicant showed 8 spaces in front of the building. I think there's more than adequate room for possibly 10 spaces there. But this is a different hybrid type of a business. Not everyone going to the site is going to go to just the convenience store. Other people are just going to go for gasoline, and others are just going to go for gasoline, but walk to the convenience store. So you have a mix of activities on the property that sort of overlap. Given the fact that there's certainly at least 8, if not more, spaces in front of the building, each of the pumps effectively carries an extra space. So in other words, one car on either side of each pump provides 8 more places that someone can pull in, park their car, get their fuel, and move out. Or in some cases, while the car is parked, go in, grab a cup of coffee, and or pay for their fuel, and then come back out and then hit the road. So I think there is adequate parking on this site, given the fact that you have this hybrid retail sale, but also service component of it. So I calculate at least 16 spaces, 15 are required. Getting on to other items under 10.28060, talks about height. There's a maximum height of 35 feet. Again, it looks like the building for the most part will be about 20 feet in height. There's a small section that will be about 25 feet in height, only covers about a third of the frontage. Under item 070, the side and rear yards, there is no required side or rear yard in the zone. I will note that they do have building setbacks for this project. There's no front yard requirement in the C3 zone under 080. Under 090, there are no lot width or other dimension requirements. There are parking notations in item 100. Again, this was previously reviewed. There's also bicycle parking requirements under 110. Provisions here in the code require space, pretend parking spaces. Since it would come out to 1.5 spaces, we have to round up. The applicant did not identify any bicycle parking on the site. However, this can be placed as a condition of approval. Fencing is not required as the site is not located adjacent to residential zone property. All property surrounding this is zone C3. However, if a fence is installed for whatever reason, the fence will have to meet with the requirements so noted in the code. It appears the clear vision area is kept open. It is under item 130. All new development, if the landscaping is kept at a reasonable size, that should not be an issue. But when they come in for sign permits, city staff will have to be sure that there is no interference with the clear vision. Sign regulations, again, it was my recommendation that the sign provisions in the central business district be enforced. Finally, there's a series of conditions that may be imposed when this project is adjacent to residential zone property. Those provisions do not apply, as again, everything is zone C3. Finally, the site does contain a drive-in or drive-up window. Central Business District has some very good standards with regard to these and wants to be sure when it's so designed that it's not interfering with traffic either on the site, maneuvering on the site, or traffic on the adjacent street. Looking at the plan that was submitted, there's barely room for one, maybe two vehicles and no potential for stacking along the street. On it, without backing up into the street. I think for these reasons, it is recommended that the commission prohibit the inclusion of the drive-up window. This is not a good place for it on the property. With that, again, it appears that the application could meet the development requirements. And if so approved, staff has provided a list of recommendations. And you will note under item 5, it says subdivision criteria. No, it's design review criteria. And I apologize for that error. And with that, that's the staff report.
Well, that last item 5 in F.
Yeah.
That's the one you were just, what did you just apologize for? I couldn't find it.
No, what it is under Roman numeral 5, the very first line says city staff finds their proposal complies with the applicable subdivision criteria.
Thank you.
That was an error on my part. And in my report, I scratched it out.
Okay. All right, well, let's go back to the beginning and we'll take our questions on each section that we have some. And so we don't kind of just get all our questions out on one section then move to the next one, all right? Rather than me go through and ask my questions and then you and, okay. So I didn't have any questions on the first two pages, page 1 and 2. Anybody have any questions about that?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
We'll be here all night. If we're just going over the staff report and asking direct questions at this point?
Yeah.
So while under... on page 2, application summary. So under A5, that was formerly a gas station. It was demolished. The tanks were properly remediated. That was, if I'm not mistaken, a DEQ cleanup site. Do we have any information from DEQ that site is buildable for the purpose of serving food at like convenience store level? I know that it is not inhabitable.
Well, no, that would be something that the applicant would have to, DEQ is going to, if this is approved and they're installing tanks, the DEQ has to go through that installation process. And so they will have to determine whether or not there is a, any particular hazard issues. Normally their site covers that. And also, I would just like to note that there is a condition here that compliance with these conditions of approval, condition G, talks about compliance with all DEQ requirements. So it is incumbent upon the applicant to be sure that the site development complies with DEQ.
So Shay, that's kind of out of our hands, you think?
Yeah, I think so.
It's going to be covered by DEQ.
And then again, so on the same page under D, I believe that ODOT, and then later likely won't trigger regarding also ODOT. So if we were, say, to magically approve this today, those situations with ODOT would come later in the process, or should the person that has turned in this to us that wants to build the gas station, should we not have reports from ODOT at this point?
Well, going through this a little further, it talks about street improvements on page 3. There's also my recommendation that any improvements along Maple Street have to comply with ODOT requirements. Those plans need to be reviewed and approved by ODOT before they can begin construction. Understand, anytime I mention engineering plans, engineering review, etc., it really means that if those plans need to comply, and they cannot move forward until they do comply. And if they fail to comply, for example, if there's some way that the sewer system doesn't work or stormwater cannot work that meets city standards, or ODOT doesn't improve the frontage improvements, the project cannot go forward.
So I guess what concerns me, because then my next question on the same page under E1 is they have not turned in a sanitary sewer plan. So are we, and that's part of the criteria for approval, wouldn't it be?
Right, but understand at some juncture, the plans, the detailed plans, at this juncture, our main question is, can the site be serviced? Can the site be serviced? And so far, it appears that the city engineer, and he could add to this, has said, yes, there's water there, there's storm sewer provisions, there is sewer provisions here. It can likely be serviced, and that's at the level we're at. That's why we put conditions at the end that say, hey, you have to submit engineering plans. Those plans have to be approved and approved to show that they're in compliance with our city standards. I wish I could, maybe I should put it at the end, they fail to do so, the project stops. And that, I think, is the critical issue. We're sort of looking at the 20,000 foot level right now.
For sure.
I think
I would just feel more comfortable just as a commissioner and as a citizen of Yam Hill that all these things that have not been turned in, that aren't part of it, that it does say in there that if they're not taken care of, that it cannot be built.
Okay, that's very well. This is the reason we have the public hearing, I think, to bring this out. But you raise a good point, and I think going forward, I will be sure to put that information in the report.
Beautiful,
great. Let's go to page 3, 3 and 4. Do you have anything to say?
Maybe.
Are we looking at anybody else?
Sue, do you have any questions on page 3 or 4?
She's muted and talking.
Oh, I'm sorry, Sue, you're muted. Okay. There you
can go. You mean, I'm sorry. My cough, I really apologize. This just hit me last night.
Well, we feel safe and sorry for you, but please go ahead.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm trying to understand setbacks. So under on page 4, 1046050, it says the maximum building setback from a side property line shall be 20 feet. No parking is allowed between the building and the street. Then it goes over on page 5 under E, and it says 1, setbacks, the maximum building setback from a street side property line shall be 0 feet. So is it 20 feet or is it 0 feet?
I can speak to that. Those are the standards that are in the central business district. And so the zero setback applies only to property along Maple Street. Otherwise, the 20-foot setback would apply.
So, that would apply on First Street.
Right, but zero setback would apply on Maple.
Okay, so how do you take 20 feet setback, 8 foot of sidewalk, and 100-foot building and put it on a piece of property that is 112.65 feet wide?
Well, this is part of the, I think, issue, and I hope I'm not going too far afield here, that the city council, the planning commission will have to consider that these are the standards for the central business district. However, you have the authority to modify those standards under certain conditions. So understand, these are the requirements, but you may modify those requirements, and the specifics on how to modify them are found on the top of page 6. I provided some general findings that you wish to consider, but that is something that you're going to have to work on. Also, please note that the sidewalks are within the right-of-way and not on the property. So the actual property line would start behind the sidewalk.
Okay. So is there any, I've been trying to look and I don't see anything in the ordinance that sets a criteria for parking per business or anything else like that in the downtown district. And I know that it is not the person that is talking about using this property because it's been used as a parking lot for so long. But I've lived here for 47 years and that restaurant used to be Yamhill Cafe, the Lago now, used to be Yamhill Cafe and was until it went through several owners and then it became Lago. And the employees park along the side of that and there is a propane tank that is there. I don't know if there's anything like eminent domain because they've used it for so long, but if everything is, I mean, this building is basically going to go right up against the Lago building and displace everything that's on that property right now. And there will be no parking for Lago, and there will be limited parking for Larson House. And so I'm just wondering if there's any criteria in any of this that talks about where people are going to park.
Well, part of it is understand we can only look at this one piece of property. And I recognize that there, if people have been using it for a certain purpose, and that's changed if this development occurs, those buildings are grandfathered, they're pre-existing, parking will move someplace else. I'm not saying it's good, bad, or indifferent, but if this is developed, the parking, et cetera, is specifically for this project. And the Planning Commission really doesn't have authority to compel the owner to provide parking for other businesses.
No, I'm aware of that. I'm just trying to wrap my head around what it's going to do to downtown.
It could move parking to other parts of the downtown. That's my best guess.
So while on that point, I actually did, I had a upcoming question on this, but she addressed it now. So I would ask, so when I would ask anybody that's a longtime resident that has the memory on this, but from what I remember is when Pitt Fido had their service station there, there was no parking from the corner, the northeast corner to their driveway. There is now that it's been removed, there is now parking there. At that time, it was the Yamhill Cafe, and that was a long time ago. But then Lago has come in since Pit Fido left. What was the parking requirements that they had to meet in order to put a building in there? And then if we remove by allowing the construction of this building, their parking spaces, is that allowed?
I'm going to be frank to say I am not familiar at all with the Lago situation in terms of the restaurants moving in or out, and also whether or not there was any grandfather provisions. To be honest, I would have to do some research on that to fairly answer your question.
Thank you.
Shay?
Yes.
Just a comment. It's going to all depend on where the lot line is for that restaurant. If they've
it's
got
right access there on the other side. My folks own the Yamhill Cafe, so Sherry Wilson, 710 East Main. So that propane tank is actually part of that property that we're looking at for the gas station. And Pit Fido's built that little, you know, barrier is meant to when they're filling propane tanks and stuff.
And when we get to that point where it's the public comment and so forth, if anybody did have a question, especially Patty, I do have the survey provided that was done by the county or stored with the county. I have both the, and I'm guessing at the dates right now, I'd have to look more closely, but it was like 2009 and 2007. The measurements are identical, so I trust them to be fairly accurate. But yeah, if you have any question to that, I can show you those.
Well, I've got a question on the bottom of page 4, the building standards, and it relates to your comment on page 6 of you recommend waiving specific design elements. Are those design elements the kinds of things we see here in building standards, or what are those design elements you're talking about potentially waiving?
Well, essentially what, again, I'm not recommending waiving. I just made a note here in my staff report that said, if you wish to proceed in terms of this project, you will have to consider waiving some of these standards. And some of them would include the setbacks, information on building height that might have to be changed, building orientation. I think the facade would cover it because a brick masonry or wood appearance certainly covers it. But for example, the setback on Maple Street, that would have to be considered. And the fact you have even a more compressed, if you will, looking at building heights along Maple Street. And finally, buildings shall be similar in character and design with existing structures. So that sort of laundry list, if you will, the Planning Commission is going to have to consider whether or not that should be enforced, or they can waive it for this particular project. It was, as I said in my analysis, it was a bit of a conundrum. You allow the use in the zone, yet you have some real strict standards within the central business district. And so that's something you're going to have to weigh. So at a minimum, I'm recommending that you keep the signage and landscaping requirements within the central business district. But whether or not the Planning Commission finds it appropriate to waive the remaining standards, that's why we're having the public hearing.
Well, let's take those, and we need to decide that before we vote. This isn't something that comes up later and is hashed out between the city and this is our job, right? The height,
correct.
The setback. Correct. Okay. Let's take these one
yes.
at a time.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Let's take these one at a time. Let's start with setback. Now, the zero setback on Maple, that means it shall be zero. Your building's supposed to come right up to the sidewalk, right?
Correct. Basically, it's your typical downtown feature of having, you're walking along the sidewalk and there's an entrance into the store or the cafe or whatever you have.
So if there's going to be a gas station there, we've got to waive that one.
Correct.
But do you recommend we determine the right amount of feet or just leave it open to what they want to design, or is that clearly spelled out in their application?
Well, I think the only thing you could work with is looking at their application. They have established a location for the retail building, a location for the gas pumps, how cars are going to go in and go out. And I think that's the only thing you could work with. Otherwise, you may wind up with a design that, I mean, let's face it, for any project, it has to logically make sense to function. And if you're moving the pumps, you know, eliminating pumps or moving them elsewhere, it may not function as a gas station. I think you're just going to have to look at the layout as proposed and ask whether or not you find it appropriate to waive certain of these provisions to allow the gas station. And that's basically what the Central Business District program, if you will, and also the issues on whether or not you can be waiving waiver provisions under .070 are acceptable to the Planning Commission.
So do we have copies of what this building is supposed to look like and where on the lawn it's supposed to be placed and any of this? I haven't seen any of it. And the best I've done is an internet search while I was sitting here. And I've found that their building, which is supposed to allegedly very similar to the one that was built in Sheridan. And I'm not quite sure how that building would fit into a zero setback situation that Maple Street has to offer. But I'd love to see if an architect manipulated that and made it work for them. I'd love to have the opportunity to take a look at that. But without it, it's a little difficult.
Well, this seems to be a stopping point right now. Can you argue with that? that if we can't see what they're proposing, we can't talk about intelligently on what setbacks, on how setbacks should be.
Well, okay, I hope I'm not walking in a minefield on this one. I did receive a set of the plans in terms of what the buildings are going to look like and all in sort of the design layout. I can't speak to the packet itself. I
hesitation on what you're supposed to be showing us or talking to us about, or is that true?
No, I'm not hesitant about that. It's just that if you don't have the information, I really don't know how to respond to that because I was able to look at the information.
Sure.
Okay, so please understand that I've seen this and I'm just a little surprised you haven't, and I'll just leave it at that. But as I said, everything that we have here, and this was my first tripping point, if you will, how does this fit in? And I sought to provide some potential way for the commission to go forward.
Okay.
And you're truly wonderful for doing it. We appreciate it. I just had a quick sidebar with Sharon.
Okay.
If it is okay with you, Chairman, we could take a 5-minute recess while she prints out that paperwork as it was submitted to City Hall. So we will be able to get those if we all wanted to do that.
Yeah. Sorry, Sue. I don't know how we're going to get that to you.
Would we?
Well, I have a problem with this. Okay. I don't believe in just, okay, I can look at this piece of paper in 5 seconds and make any kind of a logical decision. We didn't even get in the package of all this stuff until Thursday night. We got nothing with any measurements. The only reason we have what we have here is because Shane and I started talking about it, and he took the initiative to go down to the county and get these maps for us. We were given nothing that gives us any ability to make a decision based on facts. And I don't like making a 5-second decision.
Got it.
Mr. Chairman, may I make a recommendation at this point? I think it's appropriate everyone has all the material in hand. And I think for us to continue where we're going to be looking at it, and I know that in other jurisdictions I work with, people spend an hour or two just going through these things. And I think I'm going to strongly recommend that we suspend the hearing and continue it until next month to give everyone an opportunity to look at the material. And I'm also hoping that the applicant can, you know, pick up what basically understand some of the concerns of the Planning Commission and maybe respond if necessary. So that's my recommendation right now. Otherwise, we are here to 10, 11 o'clock at night looking over site plans. And I don't see that as benefiting us or the applicant.
I'd also like the public.
Absolutely. Or the public.
They've got a right to see it too.
Yes. Yes, Ms. Richardson, I fully agree. This is a public hearing and that information needs to be available.
And you know, even the notices, people that got the notices that are the neighbors, got the notices a day or two ago. That's not enough time to put any facts together.
Those were mailed out like two and a half weeks ago. So I don't know why they got them a day or two. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know either, but I've talked to two people. One didn't get them and the other one got it Monday. Okay. So, you know.
They were mailed out in a 300-foot radius, according to the Yamhill County records. And they were mailed out like 2.5 weeks prior to this meeting.
All right. Well, we're going to have a continuance on this.
So that point is moot, but well taken, Sue. Is there a concern about the timeliness that we have as a city to respond to an application?
At this juncture, you were only 43 days into the 120 day. So a continuation, it's not great, but you're not going to be any more than, you know, 60, 65 days. And there should be sufficient information to render a decision and adequate opportunities for the for appeals by whomever. So, yeah, this is not a great situation, but by the same token, you still have some flexibility here that a continuation would not be fatal.
Okay.
How come if it was 43 days that we didn't get the paperwork until, what, 6 days ago?
That 43 days means that I sent out a letter to the applicant saying the application is complete. A packet would not be prepared until such time the staff report is ready. So I will leave that with other folks, but I'm just concerned at this juncture, without those plans in front of you, I'm basically, yeah, my staff report does not make any connection to what you would see.
I would like to not end this at the moment, because I think you made a good point that the applicant here are concerns. I think we have some concerns independent of setback and building design that perhaps they should hear that we have concerns about, because I would like them to either, you know, modify or defend the concerns, some of the concerns I have, and maybe some of us have on other issues than setback. So I'd like to continue with our concerns so that can be communicated to the applicant, and as well as the concerns of the public that are here tonight. I think we should collect those and get those part of the record as well. So I don't want to just stop. Okay.
No, that'll be fine. It's that's fine.
So I did want to unwrap kind of understand better this push-pull between C3 and business district and how it kind of leaves some decisions in our hands around the building facade. It says here, the business district requirements say that'll be that are visible from the public shall, the street shall be brick, masonry, or wood appearance. Gas stations aren't usually that, but
so we can ask them to do that. See their plans, because this is an image of their gas station.
This is the one in Sheridan.
Which is,
okay.
There's metal, but there's brick. So that could be adjusted for. But again, without, I think that in order to be fair, I mean, as I can't walk around and show my phone to every individual, well, I could, if y'all want to be there. I think that as far as this stuff goes, we should, the specifics at least. Okay. I mean, if we want to clarify.
I agree. I think that the applicant should know that we're concerned that it not be off-white sheet metal. That's my concern.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of metal on the front of that building.
But it's dark.
Yeah.
Just a metal building that's painted with, pale yellow. Was my concern about it, that it wouldn't look much like the rest of the town.
Well, and then as we're talking about, that's their four pump. That's a sign. And it's neon.
So that was my next question. Well, the sign that ordinance we just worked so hard on, does that apply or not apply based on C3 versus business directors? Where are we at in that?
In this case, it goes to the city council tomorrow night. Please bear in mind, I think comments during your opening statement, those rules in effect at the time of the application would apply. So just the current regulations, sign regulation would apply to this project.
So I'm hearing the wheels turn slowly and our work hasn't been stamped yet by the city council.
Correct. It's going to council tomorrow night.
Oh my.
But please understand, at the point of application, only the rules in place at the point of application, which in this case is, I think, August 9th, when it was determined complete, only those rules apply, which is the current regulation. So even if they approved it last month, it would still be the old rules.
I hear you, because it wasn't before the application.
Correct.
So remind me what the existing applications would do to the edge of the canopy being full neon.
100 feet long.
100 feet long and bright blue and yellow chevron.
And 3 feet tall.
Well, see, this is something that it would be nice, and I concur. You are raising some very interesting questions that I think the applicant needs to respond to and possibly amend the design to talk about these things.
Well, and is anybody aware that there is a process being done right now to make Yamhill downtown a historical district, and it's over halfway through the process?
So, gosh, I have a question for you all. Now, I have a couple of what real, go ahead, sorry.
Does Walt have a response to Sue? Let's just take that historical district question.
No, I do not.
Okay.
No, I'm not aware of the status of that.
Go ahead, Jane.
May I ask to the public, even though we're not public comment, I'm just kind of straw polling real quick, if y'all don't mind. Can I see a show of hands? Who here is in favor, has come to speak in favor of the new convenience store gas station? Has anybody come here to be opposed to the convenience store gas station? So I'm seeing 100% yes, 2 abstain, whatever. So my question then would be, this is a big if, because I'm speaking out of turn.
Go ahead.
Please give me some latitude here, because I'm not even sure if I'm breaking rules. If we were to get copies of the plans as they submitted them and the locations to where they are, and if in those plans as submitted, there is not a 0-foot setback on Maple Street, and based on what has been submitted, if we vote tonight to reject this proposal, what happens to the application process? Does it start again, or do they have a chance to go back and amend their existing application?
There are 3 alternatives. You can go through the hearing, take everything, receive all the information and make a decision. If you deny it, the applicant has the right to appeal to the city council. If you hear everything tonight, but still go, we need more information, and continue it, the applicant has some flexibility there to provide additional information for the planning commission to consider. Saying that, it doesn't address the sort of 0-foot setback issue unless they would come up with a completely new plan that meets all the design requirements in the central business district. So we circle right around to the beginning. If they provide a plan that modifies a lot of these requirements, then it's still going to be incumbent upon the planning commission to determine whether or not they're going to waive or modify those standards.
Boy, that left a tangle in my mind. Well,
it's the core question of this application, and maybe this would probably just kind of focus on it, is, are you willing to go ahead and modify a number of standards to allow the gas station? And that was my conundrum when I wrote the staff report. There's a lot of changes that have to be made to allow this. Are you willing to say that's okay and then go from there? That's going to be the key. That is the gate.
So, well, I'm seeing what we have here in front of us is a little unusual in that oftentimes an application meets the criteria, whether we like it or not, we can vote against it, but we're going by the criteria. Our hands are kind of tied that if we don't approve it, the city council probably will. And if they don't and it meets the criteria, they're going to get sued. But we have an opportunity here. We've got criteria that allows us the fact, hey, we just don't like the idea of it. We can draw that line in the sand at zero setback, and this thing goes away.
Well, I think you raised a good point, and I'd like to direct you to the top of page 6, where it talks about the modification is necessary to provide design flexibility, and it identifies three potential scenarios. And if it can't meet in your mind, you know, not my decision, but if you don't find the layout should or can be modified because there are unique site conditions, or it's a bizarre parcel shape, or you're trying to preserve trees or other natural features, you have to make findings to that effect. And if you can't make findings to that effect, then you can't modify. And then the second part is that even if you made a finding, the modification has to be the absolute minimum necessary to still maintain sort of the character of the downtown. So that's the crux of the issue before the Planning Commission. I think everything else, as I said, I think the layout complies with all requirements on parking, et cetera, for the C3 zone, but there is the issue of, does it comply with the requirements for the central business district? The answer would be obviously no, but is the Planning Commission provide sufficient findings to allow modification?
So we don't find findings to justify allowing a modification by not trying very hard. And we say, no, it's got a zero setback. Let me ask again, this gas station can't happen. If we just say, no, it's zero setback there and a gas station won't go here. That'll be the end of it, true or false. And we won't get sued.
This gas station will not go here. Someone would have to reapply to show how it meets, but this proposal would not go forward.
Wow, understood. So, okay, throw a few things out here for us to all think about potentially. So, first of all, we haven't heard from anybody here yet, but I'd love to. The other thing is, so somebody on planning, maybe some people in this room years ago, spent the time, energy, effort, and all the work done that we just finished on the signs in order to create a zero setback for Maple Street for a purpose. And in that purpose, you see from Berkshire Hathaway all the way down to Lago and the building beyond it, it's always been observed.
And the gas station was probably grandfathered in before that.
Pit Fidos was in before that, mm-hmm. I would imagine. Okay. So I don't know who are we to say that.
So you're agreeing.
I'd like cheaper gas than the Shell station. So let's throw it in and just ignore all the work that the forefathers of this town did. Because I'd like to save a penny on unleaded.
Oh, that's a good argument.
Just saying.
I just kind of want to poll people on, shall we spend a lot of energy to make this gas station the best we can do? Or should we just say no gas station? Just anybody want to work on getting a gas station in there?
I would really hesitate to go down that road. I think if anything, you may want to do is hear everyone out. And then if you feel comfortable with making a decision at the end, you are certainly welcome to do so. Because it still, as you mentioned, has to be based on findings.
So, okay. If I may,
What I would be very cautious of right here, if we were to head down that road, is to remember that we have to, by criteria and criteria only. So if it's not even a question of us not trying hard, and other than the exceptions that they clearly don't meet criteria. If that, I assume that's what Chairman Moore meant.
Well said.
That we weren't just discounting the idea of a gas station because we choose not to have one. Because don't get me wrong, a brother would love to save a nickel on unleaded. But based on the criteria, so what would you looking at?
Any other questions, technical or clarifying questions from the staff, to the staff from the Planning Commission? Sue, do you have anything else?
No, I'm just uncomfortable making any decision until I've got all the facts.
Very good. So I'm about to open up testimony from citizens, interest groups, state agencies, and other units of government. entered into the record. Okay, everybody good with that?
Yeah.
All right, we're gonna turn loose. I think we should probably go by the order that we're on. Listen, the list there would maybe give us a reason to have some order.
Did anyone not sign in that wants to speak? Did anyone not sign in?
Just because sometimes we
get 45 minutes.
We got a little time. Right. So if we could use that as a time mission to us.
All right. Folks, we've got 45 minutes till 9 o'clock. We have other things to do. So you're going to get that much time to talk. And when it runs out, please be respectful. Okay. And we'll go by order of that sign up sheet.
Who's first here?
The first person is Robert Davis.
Robert,
talk fast, Bob.
Go for it. Name and address.
I don't have that much to say.
Name and address, please, Robert.
Yeah, Robert Davis, 212 North Maple Street, representing Nam Hill Neighborhood Association. But first, I'd like to thank Walt for his wonderful job on this dissertation about this. Just to remind the council that starting from page 10, ending on page 12 are all Walt's recommendations that he feels the proposed gas station needs to jump through, in addition to what the council has already discovered tonight. My point in my report that I have submitted to every one of you to read is regarding the development DUV 21-01/DR22-1. The question is, with regard to the above or below ground gas storage tanks, has the applicant, Paul Joel, applied for an approved DEQ or the state fire marshal to install any gas tanks on this property? The reason I ask this question is it's crucial so that the Planning Commission and the City Council's time is not wasted before such approval has first been met. So that's before anything even gets going. My second comment is, as YNA has not had time to research documents from DEQ to the extent of the past gas leak cleanup of the contamination of this property, whether this has been fully completed or not at this time. That was a question that Shea Corrigan brought to the table. Three, after talking with homeowners in the west side of Olive Street behind the fire hall, have made it known drill cores and tests have been made during the cleanup process, and many of the residents on the west side of Olive Street have radon gas underground. And because of this highly dangerous gas, no ground can be disturbed for five houses going south. Question: does this gas exist on the aforementioned contaminated site as well? My final is, due to the previous two questions not being able to be resolved tonight, YNA respectfully asked the Planning Commission to postpone its vote to either approve or deny this application until the next Planning Commission. And I will state that there are questions tonight that have been raised that need to be answered. Some more documentation that needs to be put out for both the commissioners and the public to review. So my thing is, I believe you guys ought to just postpone and not just deny. If you deny, they'll just appeal it. Thank you.
Thank you, Robert. Yeah. I want to just take a moment and address that, the numbers 1 and 2. And when Shay asked that question of Walt, pretty much Walt informed us that's not how it works. You don't go to DEQ first. DEQ is part of the process after the application is approved. And DEQ will put a stop to it if it's not in there and with meeting their criteria. So we don't do these things up front, 1 and 2. Number 3, I don't know about radon. Walt, is there some agency that comes in and sniffs around for radon and take that into account?
Not that I'm aware of. I'm not an expert on that, but I know
the EPA does.
Yeah, and I think there's also state health encourages people to test for radon.
But this was done during the coring time when the initial cleanup was started.
Right.
Radon is not a result of the spill, the gas spill. Radon occurs naturally.
Correct. I'm not sure that radon is part of an application process. I don't think that will get looked at to answer that question. But 1 and 2 comes after this. So thank you.
Yep.
Let's go next. Doug Edwards.
No, I put no.
Oh, well, I got to read the whole sheet. Thank you. I'm sorry. Rocky has a yes.
Rocky Lossley, second Hemlock. First item has to do with information. All of the information that is necessary for the Planning Commission to consider and look at. If it's not available, there has to be a reason for it. And it should be available. Otherwise, there shouldn't even be a meeting on it because it becomes a waste of time. And your time is valuable. My time is valuable. So you can exercise what is necessary to make a correction. I believe that a correction is necessary because if the Planning Commission doesn't have the proper information, all of the information that is applicable, then you really can't judge anything and you can't rule on anything. The second item is relative to this particular site, just as an illustration. The Planning Commission, I believe, has the responsibility to, if all of the criterias can be met, I don't think it's appropriate to deny, unless it's immoral. So that would be one point of that issue. The second one is, I believe the Planning Commission has done a very good job of being responsible. You are, in fact, demonstrating even tonight, before tonight, but tonight, being the watchdog that a Planning Commission has the responsibility to be for the whole of the community. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. And keep up the good work. If there's any way for you to continue to proceed in all things so that it doesn't go to the city council until there's no place else it can go, I would encourage you to do that. Because what I see and what I sense are people that are reasonable and prudent, attempting to be fair, looking at the data, all of the information, and then making a decision that, once again, is reasonable and prudent. It might not be liked by a number of people, a percentage of people, but if it's reasonable and prudent, who can reasonably argue against that? And then lastly, on page 12, item G, and I will be corrected if I'm wrong. So I believe that this information, item G, page 12, was put together by our city planner, Wendelowski, And it states compliance with the conditions of approval, Oregon Department of Transportation, Oregon Department of Environmental Quality, Public Works Standards, Building Code, and applicable municipal code provisions shall be the sole responsibility of the applicant to meet those standards. But what I don't see in here, and what I believe is also important, and it needs to be in black and white because it is important, is the Oregon Uniform Fire Code, which deals with fire and life safety. And that means as these documents are developed and they are sent out for perusal and check, so to see that they measure up to code, they also need to go to our local fire department and the Oregon State Fire Marshal.
Very good, Rocky.
Thanks, Rocky.
Well, what about that fire code, and why isn't the fire chief here saying what's good or bad about it?
Okay. Well, first of all, I think Rocky's suggestion is excellent. And if approved by the Planning Commission, I will certainly incorporate that. But I also plan to incorporate that in future reports, not only for this community, but for others. I think that's an excellent recommendation.
And why isn't the fire chief here perhaps commenting or blessing or
saying? I'm sure he was given an opportunity to comment. We send out notice of the application to affected agencies. And again, as of the date of my report, I did not receive any feedback from except ODOT and city engineer.
So I guess we're left to assume by their absence that they didn't have an issue.
Well, yes, but
if all things are running well.
Yeah, I think that might be one way of looking at it, but you know what they say about assume. But again, I think the idea of uniform fire code, Rocky's comment, was on point.
Thank you, Rocky. All right.
And well, that's reviewed at the building permit time.
Building permit?
Fire code. Okay. Fire code, it's a building permit issue. So it behooves the applicant to address fire code criteria to know that they have a viable site plan. But in the position we're in, we're looking at the development review criteria, which fire code is not.
Okay, thank you, John. Patty.
So I have a couple of concerns, well, actually more than a couple, but the major one.
Patty, what's your address?
Oh, sorry. Patty Perrin, 215 North Maple Street. Does anybody have any idea what their hours of operation are going to be?
I don't know if that's in our purview.
Okay, well, because I did some checking on some that were in the area, and it's 50-50. Some are open 24/7, and some are open as early as 5 and close as late as 10. So part of the issue that I have with it is that because even though this is in the business district, if you want to call it that, there's residents that are going to be affected by the lighting of these places, which the lighting is massive. So anybody that lives over on Olive, it's going to be affected by it. The home right over here on the corner is going to be affected by it, because they're going to be just in, because that just illuminates tremendously. It's not like, you know, it's not, it's going to be like the sign for the fire hall that's in your face all the time. It's not going to be flashing, but it's just going to be on. So that's a major concern for me, is that. And then the other thing is, Sharon, the city doesn't have a copy of the DEQ remediation from the gas station over here?
No.
Okay.
Yes,
so I contacted.
It does.
It does?
It has received many of the reports, but I reviewed a lot of them.
Okay.
When they did their remediation. And I think the deed may have some strict restrictions placed on the property by DEQ.
Okay, because I was going to say, I contacted DEQ and requested a copy of it, actually. So, and then the other thing is, and I know this is not in the criteria, so to speak, And I know the city wants to bring new business into town, but this is going to have a direct impact on T&E, because this is not just a convenience store. This is a goddamn store. Food Mart is what they call them in most cases. And 5,000 square feet, you look at that compared to T&E, and I mean, it's going to have a direct impact, like I say, on T&E, bottom line. It just is. And I have a real issue with that. So other than that, I guess that's it.
Thank you, Patty. Well, if we deny this tonight, will they come back with a new application, or will it be a continuation of their other application?
If you choose to deny this tonight, that's your decision. They have the right to appeal. Okay. They can also simply accept the decision, and they have the right to reapply with a modified application.
Okay. City Council. So if we were to deny and the sign code got passed tomorrow, would they have to meet the new sign requirements then?
Only if they reapply, not if they appeal.
Okay.
Correct. Only if they reapply.
That was my question to John. Okay, I have a check mark next to.
It was a yes.
Wilson.
Yep.
Sherry. Great.
You want to flip one?
You get.
We're close.
Time and a half.
I'm Sherry Wilson, 10 East Main. And first off, yes, I want to thank you for the council for doing what you're doing, just like Rocky said. I mean, I appreciate it so much that there's some collaboration going on instead of it just being fine. So that being said, I find it kind of surprising that there's so many pieces to this that are gonna need variances given by the city in order to approve it. That's going down a rabbit hole for me. I find then what happens to the next business that wants to come in and feel that they have to have variances. And so I think, you know, there should be some stricter codes that are, you know, feel that this is what we've planned. This is how the growth of the city is supposed to go. I do have a problem with the fact that we already have a convenience gas station store at the end of town. We have a grocery store in town, and to throw another grocery store and gas station, I feel is not the business that we need. I'd like to see something a little different in that space. And it, to me, it doesn't feel like it's nearly big enough to accommodate cars going in and out and trying to get out on the highway on the side street. Coming in, it's bad enough now without any more, you know, traffic. That's basically what I needed to say. So yeah. I just don't like the idea of adjusting the city's codes to accommodate a business that obviously doesn't need to be there.
Thank you, Sherry. I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Walt and Sue, I imagine you've got going through your mind, it's not up to us whether to restrict free enterprise and competition. I certainly have your sentiments in here, but I'm not sure I can vote that way. That's probably not part of what we do here. Is that right, Walt?
That is correct. You don't, the commission is not in a position to accept or reject businesses just because they don't want the business in town. They have to meet all the decision criteria to establish that business. In other words, I've worked in towns where they had six pizza places and people didn't want to see a seventh. That's not the city's choice to make. It's free enterprise.
Now, I would ask most, if this was a formal hearing testimony, I would have said this isn't criteria, but we're kind of combining the public testimony with addressing this application. So I'm just going to allow people to say how they feel.
Well, and as I said, the beginning of it is there, you guys are having to make a lot of variances in order to approve this.
Gotcha.
So I've got one thing, and that is the water and sewer impact. There's obviously been no information provided as far as a ballpark on how many vehicles come and go from there, how many people are in and out of the store using the restrooms, and you know, all of this kind of thing. The water and sewer is going to be impacted by this. I mean, you all should know that. People stop and getting gas, running in, going to the bathroom, because it's not just going to be people from the city that are using this. It's going to be people, you know, driving from Mac to Gaston or Mac to Forest Grove or wherever it is that they're going back and forth. And so you all know we have an issue right now with water and sewer.
Okay, heard. And it may come up at some later time. And guess what? It may not. So we won't forget that if we need to remember it, okay? At some point. I get my drift. Kara.
Yeah, I'm Kara Weber with the, I'm at 180 North Maple Street. I'm a volunteer with the Yamhill Downtown Association. And this issue came up with our board meeting earlier, later last week. And the individual that I wish could have come to this meeting has experience with commercial real estate development. And, you know, our discoveries with the board was a regurgitation of everything that was already said. It cannibalizes our existing businesses that are here in downtown Yamhill. But also he ran like a quick fiscal analysis in his head and basically came up with a conclusion that there's just not enough business to sustain that business. The kicker is it's not just a tea shop, it's a gas station, and it leaves a longitudinal environmental hazard for then downtown Yamhill to have to deal with and try to remediate, which is extraordinarily expensive with these gas tanks in the ground, which we've had a long history of trying to remediate these darned gas tanks in the ground. So it's just kind of like another gas station graveyard if we look at the fiscal performance. So I guess our question is, in Philip Higgins' mind, our board member, it's just not going to be a viable business down the road, which then becomes downtown Yamhill's problem for who knows how long. So I guess my question is, can the fiscal solvency or their performance be part of that criteria of the commission level?
I would guess no, that's their problem, how their business plan, whether it's viable or not.
Even though it might leave a stain on the community for years to come. I mean, it's not a yarn shop, right?
Stop pretending. I know exactly what I'm talking about. Walt, you want to comment on that?
Boy, I tell you, you can go. I'll just keep it short and sweet here. No, the viability of a business is not a decision criteria. We may have opinions on that, but it's not part of the criteria.
Thank you. Were you done, Kara?
I'm done.
Mary.
Mary Landauer, 160 Spruce Street. I was just curious because you guys kind of said in passing that if you guys denied it, that it could go on to the city and the city could approve it. Is that, could you expand on that? You just kind of said in passing. Didn't catch all of it.
I think the city council denied the housing development down here, and it went to city council and they passed it. So,
planning commission.
Pardon me?
The planning commission denied the subdivision and it was appealed and went to city council.
That's what I thought I said. Yeah. I didn't say that. Okay. I'm sorry.
Then it could go to city council and then, okay.
Right. That's what would happen. they would do all this work then on setbacks and all that stuff, I imagine.
Can I ask a question of Walt?
Yeah.
If we took this to vote tonight or another night upcoming and decided that we didn't want to change code and ended up declining to accept this or rejecting this, I guess is a better way to put it,
mm-hmm.
and it is then appealed and then goes to council. Can council just say, yeah, we'll go ahead and change all the code that's required in order to make this work? Or do they put upon us to look at the code again?
Boy, that's an interesting question. They would have to, if they would reverse your decision, they would have to come up with findings that would be counter to yours. In other words, they would have to show where you're in error, and they would have to establish findings to that effect. So conversely, I think the council, if I recall in the code, they have the right to remand it back to you. Please don't quote me on that, but I think they can remand the case back to you for further consideration. Boy, that's an interesting one. Again, they would have to show there's some real solid reasons to, if this is denied, to change your decision.
I have a follow-up on that if I could as well. And so if they did make the decision to just approve what we've denied, and I ask this because of the subdivision issue.
Mm-hmm.
So if they chose to approve, then it was built. That's one thing. If they agreed with us and said, hey, you know what, you didn't meet criteria, so we can't do this. The next step for the gas station would be a lawsuit against the city if they chose to do so.
No, not true. The next step for the gas station would be appeal to the Land Use Board of Appeals.
LUBA, yeah.
LUBA. And so that's not a, you know, it's not a lawsuit. If you follow the procedures and you have findings to support your decision, they have to show where the city was in error in terms of arriving at that decision. So they would have to go to the Land Use Board of Appeals.
Understood. Thank you. I just want to make sure I understood how that all would work.
Right.
Chairman Moore, I'd like to make one last comment, please.
Yeah, sure. Might not be the last one. Go ahead.
I would like to remind this commission, as with the 57 homes that YNA had presented factual information that you digested, along with other information you digested, to deny the 57 homes, and the council overturned your decision based on what? I'm sorry, I was at that meeting. I heard a guy speak for 45 minutes talking a blue streak that he has talked to you about. And to me, no new information was presented, but yet the city voted to approve the 57 home development based on what? Nothing that Walt just said about facts. No, there was no additional facts presented. There was no additional rhetoric. There was nothing. They just were afraid of being sued, in my opinion. They were afraid of being sued by or taken to court. And that's the reason they decided to approve the 57 homes, just to keep it out of the legal system. So I don't know. I think if you choose tonight to deny it, I think that would be the wrong move. What you should do is postpone it, present the facts, take Walt Wendelowski's last two pages of recommendations, add your own recommendations to it, and make the builder jump through your hoops to get to where you want it to be, if you want it at all.
Bird, did you have a comment a while back? You good? Okay, go ahead.
I just want to mention the fact that this council didn't have a choice because we're selling water to the outside water. We have water, so that was why they had to approve it. Hands were rather tied.
I didn't want to retry that one.
Yeah.
But it was an interesting strategy you just said, Robert. I heard. So I'm coming real close to closing the public hearing, and please respect that. Okay, so we're going to close the public hearing. All right. Any more questions to staff? The questions to staff can be part of our deliberation now. And we don't have to. have a lot more. I think what we are open for right now is a motion. And if somebody's got a motion in mind, then we'll ask for a second and then we'll vote on it. And if that's inconclusive, we'll have another motion and we'll just keep going that way.
He's formulating one down there.
All right, so I mean, if I were to make a motion at this very moment, my motion would be to continue this until all of us had the plans in front of us. So that we, because right now not one of us commissioners have seen whether or not that building sits at 0 feet off there with our own eyes, or I, as a that being the case, I think that wanting our decisions to be correct, accurate, and lasting through other bits of the city, I think it's hugely important that before we make a vote, that we physically see the drawings, that we physically see what the building material is outside and where it sits on the property.
I give a couple nods. Any comments on that, Sue? You're muted, Sue.
I'm sorry, I didn't want to cough in your ear. I agree. I think that we should just table it until we have all the facts in front of us.
All right, so that's a continuation.
No, but I would love to clarify with Walt, because the way that we put a meeting off in regards to the subdivision was not done in the best fashion. Is there verbiage to continue this from this point that would be better than another, Walt?
No, just simply say I move to continue this to the October 19th Planning Commission meeting to be held at City Hall at 7 p.m. at City Hall, and that's it. Oh, and also direct staff to prepare whatever else needs to be prepared, but the basic motion, continue it until October with City Hall, 7 p.m.
So I think you kind of got some grounding for that motion. If you were going to make a motion, now you're ready to make the motion?
I'm ready to make that. It's because my thing is the reality of it is I think our responsibility, right? We the most good for the most people for the longest time. And if we really believe that the setback's a big enough issue to not allow a person to build a building, then we should make sure every bit of information that we can get in front of us should be in front of us before we make it. Because I want it to stand up if we make that call.
I think we all nodded at that. You want to make a motion?
I make a motion that we continue this to the October 19th meeting.
I second it.
All in favor, just go down the line here.
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Well, then, motion and second, deliberation, and we didn't make any amendments, and we voted, and there we go. So that concludes our legislative public hearing. And go back to the agenda. I think any other public comment other than that, we already had any other topics that are up, people want public comment on. Next Planning Commission, October 19th. Any comments before we adjourn?
I do. imagine that. We also, I believe, are scheduled to hear a speaker that night in regards to the downtown
Main Street,
right?
Yeah. The Yamhill Downtown Association.
Yes,
I was here. Was invited in October, and then also someone from some sort of a Main Street program. Do you know them? Sherry Stewart?
That's correct, Sherry Stewart.
Correct.
So, what comes to mind is bump all of that. Or this will be short work and we'll get it all done. What do you think? Which way should we go?
Or I'm honestly.
I don't see how you can guarantee it's going to be short work. And that wouldn't be fair to our speaker.
Right.
I agree. So we'll move all of that into November.
What I would recommend, honestly, we've gone through this. I think, and maybe we could have some commissioner discussion hopefully now. But if I had a set of plans in front of me and I can say that everything that was submitted and the fact that the folks aren't even here that want to build this, if I had those drawings in front of me, I think I'd be prepared to make a vote.
How about, but Sue has the concern that if we may get all kinds of ideas and things to talk about, how about another meeting?
That's what I would suggest.
An additional meeting in 2 weeks or 3 weeks when we can get the applicant the news and have proper time for them to get ready to respond. So maybe an additional meeting in beginning of October.
The applicant may be online. You might be an attendee in Zoom, so you may want to ask the attendees in Zoom if any of them are the applicant.
Okay. Do we have the applicant online?
If they'd have to raise their hand.
Okay. We're looking for you to raise your hand electronically. How do you start that? You go down into... where do you click to raise your hand?
There's something within the control panel that allows you to raise your hand.
Yeah, what is that called?
It's just raising your hand.
No, but it's a subject to drop. I think if you go to participants, you'll have an opportunity to raise your hand next to your name. Okay, I'm going to assume that you're competent enough to do that and you've had a chance and you're not there. Okay, or you don't want to talk. Well, what do you recommend on time frame?
I think the best thing to do, you have a meeting scheduled, you have the room already scheduled, so to speak. I think October for this continuation, you've already voted. I think for Sherry Stewart, I don't see anything on the horizon. Sharon can correct me on that one. I don't see any application on the horizon. November may be a better time. And also Sue noted that there's this issue of possibly a downtown historic district. I'd like to look into that a little bit more and find out where the city might be with that, maybe talking to Sue directly. And incorporate that in the discussion in November.
That makes sense to me.
I honestly am horribly busy all the time, and having another meeting sounds terrible to me.
Yes.
And I think we should, because if a lot of these things, like a downtown historic district, had been addressed, we wouldn't be here.
We voted to continue on October 19th. We'll probably need to amend that just as a point of order. So if we're going to have another meeting, would we leave October 19th with the speakers and the continuance would be on a different date? Is that what you're thinking?
So originally, yes, but as you brought that up, of course, we have no idea what the time frame of the speaker would be. We do have Ms. Weber, right, in the Town Association. Is there not a reason that we couldn't find out what a reasonable period of time to get started with their presentations to respect their commitment to us? And then move on to this and just review some plans at the remainder of the meeting. And if we have to continue this till November, then we would do that.
How about if we start an hour early on the 19th? And ask the speakers to be within an hour, and then we at 7 o'clock we start the continuance.
Actually, that sounds like a very good idea. And a number of jurisdictions I've worked with just had that little extra time at the beginning. Before we commit to that, let me contact Sherry Stewart.
Great. So that's our penciled in plan for now.
Okay.
Leave the continuance.
I guess I didn't mean to declare that. I said, meant to say, so is that our penciled in plan for now? Start an hour early? And does that sound good? Does that sound all right with you, Sue?
Yeah, it does.
Okay, and well, you'll confirm that will work for our speakers.
Yes, I think that's a great idea.
Thank you.
And I would suggest that if it doesn't work for a speaker, because they've already committed to 7,
yep,
we can start this at 6.
Okay.
Cannot do that.
No.
Because you've continued it to a date and time certain.
Understood. Okay.
Okay. So, but let me see what I find. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you all.
Next on the agenda is adjourning, unless somebody wants to stop me from doing that. We're adjourned.
Okay.
Well,
I can't. I got nothing going on.